Hey, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Danny Ocean's Random Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Ocean, and this is episode 19 you've made it to for all my returning listeners. For all the new listeners checking it out for the first time, thank you for tuning in. I hope you like it. This is actually my third attempt at making this episode. So earlier in the week, for those who live in Oregon and, Southwest Washington, there was a huge windstorm that broke out over this area, high winds. So that night, I started recording the episode and talking about what was going on. And, part of our fence had been knocked over. And then, me and my wife's job of temporarily putting the fence back up and how we did that, all that was going to be the focus of the episode, along with other normal side topics. But when that made the wildfires spread and the smoke spread and, people had to be evacuated and all the stuff other happened, unfortunately, people dying and losing their homes and businesses, that kind of stuff. I didn't feel it was right to not talk about this tragedy as well, and to just talk about the wind and how it affected my fence, because just so many more people lost so much. It just felt vain and stupid. So here's another attempt at recording this episode. So I want to thank everyone for tuning in. I am going to talk about, the wildfires and how everyone's affected here, but it wouldn't be my show if it wasn't random and filled with other topics. So it's not going to all be, there will be, some funner stuff on here as well. So I'm going to attempt to make my own cocktail. As anyone who, listened to the last episode knows, I've been attempting to start my own home, like bar collection, and Shado assisted me with the hookup with some mixers and other alcohol stuff I wouldn't typically buy that he has an abundance of, because that dude, as the guy who actually started the Happy Hour show, has the hookup with alcohol distributors and stuff like that. So he's got all kind of stuff. So he gifted me, blessed me with some stuff, and I've got some whiskeys I bought on my own. And, combined with all that, I got a nice little collection started, enough that I can probably invent my own cocktail with the ingredients I have in my house. So I'm going to attempt to do that today and have a taste tester. Also, I'm going to try the Impossible Whopper from Burger King, hopefully, as long as it's in stock. It's been ordered for me, so we'll see. When I get that, I'm going to try the Impossible Whopper, give you a review of it on this episode. So I've heard good things, actually, about it from people that I wouldn't expect to necessarily hear good things, about a non-meat burger from. So I'm interested to see how it stacks up. I've heard some not so great reviews, but none of them have been terrible. They've just been, even the bad ones haven't been terrible. So I'm really, my interest is really piqued about the good reviews about the Impossible Whopper. I don't get Burger King a lot, but I do want to try it out, and I'm going to try it out against a normal Whopper and see how they stack up, and give you my review of it, hopefully, as long as it's in stock. I know how stuff is going. If it's not, then this will have to be put off for another episode. But yeah, thank you everyone for tuning in to another episode. Sorry this one was delayed a couple days. Like I said, it didn't feel right just to be focused on the windstorm. When I was getting ready to drop this episode and had like 7 more minutes of talking at the end I needed to put on, that's when everything really started to kick off with the fires even more. And I said, I got to scrap this whole episode. So here we are. So hope to bring you some other stuff later. We're going to also talk football, pro football. Not really watching college football this year with a good chunk of the conferences not playing. I don't feel like it's a whole season, but we are going to talk pro football. Who are your picks? I feel like this is a wide open season. I'm really interested to see, how does Tom Brady do in his new destination? And how do the Patriots do with Cam Newton? How is Seattle going to be? How does Kansas City follow up winning a Super Bowl? How are my Steelers going to be with a super stacked defense again now? Can this offense help? Because I think the defense is up to the challenge. Like, this team is ready to go back to the Super Bowl. Can we fulfill that? I'm interested to see how a lot of teams play. I really feel like this is one of the most uncertain seasons that has ever been since I've been heavily following pro football. So I'm excited to see. So send me your picks. Tell me who you think is going to come out of the AFC and the NFC and who's going to play and win the Super Bowl. Yeah, like I'm excited to see who's going to be the team that shocks everyone by being a lot better than they were last year. So excited to watch the Steelers play tomorrow. I'm in a football pool than I have been the last couple seasons, and it's different than a fantasy league. So, like for those who don't know, in a fantasy league, you'll draft players at every position. You'll build your starting lineup. And they get points for you every week based on how they perform. And you can have like bench players and you can do trades and pick up players who've been dropped by other teams. I did that one time ever and actually won the league that I was in. Man, it really was. I don't know if it was out of luck or what. Because like my team got auto drafted from me. I missed the like draft and it got auto drafted. And so like I drafted a bunch of like I like the Steelers, but too many Steelers. I basically drafted all the Steelers starters because I had like just favorited all of them and favorited some people from some other teams. So I, by dumb luck though, ended up with Aaron Rodgers as my quarterback. And this was the year, if you can remember back, it was some years back now, maybe 5 or 6, 7 years ago. I don't know. It was the year that Aaron Rodgers was doing really good. The Packers went to the Super Bowl, and also Megatron was killing it at receiver for the Lions. And so I had, by dumb luck, even though my fantasy draft was on auto, in the first two rounds drafted those two. And so they definitely helped carry me that season. But I learned early on in week one right away that you could, pick up players. And there were some good players that had not been drafted as well. So I was able to trade out some of the players that I had not really needed on auto draft and got some good players. And as the season went on, I was able to really build a polished lineup. So yeah, that was a fun experience. And I would actually maybe do one of those again if I was invited. Man, I don't know. I really think though a lot of that was due to lucking out. Okay, a lot of it was strategy. I was good with deciding, what players had the best chance of doing what, I feel like. I think I was a good adjuster as the season went on, but I really lucked out getting auto-drafted Aaron Rodgers and Megatron for real. So we cannot, I cannot, it wouldn't be fair to not say that. But anyway, the kind of thing I'm in now, man, I talk too much. The kind of thing I'm in now is you pick who's going to win each game, right? And so and the one I'm in, if anyone gets a perfect week this week, they get $100. So I'm, I want that $100. And week one though is I feel like the hardest week to get a perfect week because we got there's projections on how a lot of these teams are going to do, but no one actually knows. There's always going to be a surprise team or two. There's always going to be a team that does not live up to a few teams that do not live up to expectations. Week one is wide open. I've never had a perfect week. I've seen one person have a perfect week in all the like I think 3 years that I've done this football pool thing. So I'm excited to see if someone pulls it off this week, and I want it to be me. Want that $100. So we will see. So thanks for tuning into the episode. I'm going to come back after this, Danny Ocean's Random Podcast. All right, Danny Ocean's Random Podcast. We're back. And Shado was telling me about vegan cheese. Tell them about this. I wanted to get this on the show. So we're here with Shado because we just went and got wings at Jack's. Because why not?
Yeah, vegan cheese tastes like sadness.
See, that's the best description I've ever heard of something that. I mean, that's.
It was made with no dairy products, man. That shit is sad alone by itself. Like, gross. What are you doing with your life?
See, here's the thing is if the doctor told me you can never eat meat again, or like you have to go vegan or vegetarian again,
yeah,
I could manage it, but it wouldn't be by like making fake meat out of shit that isn't meat. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I couldn't do it.
Like, I can't, like, they're like, look, eat these chicken wings that are not chicken, they're cauliflower. And I'm like, no, just make cauliflower good.
Yeah.
Or whatever. You don't have to, like, make it an imitation chicken and shit. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, for real, though.
So,
I couldn't do it.
He said it tastes like sad. I have no desire to taste vegan cheese ever. And after you telling me that, I have even less than no desire.
Yeah, dude. And it don't even melt right. So, why are you going to put something in your body that don't melt right?
It probably doesn't. So, it doesn't taste good at all?
Yeah, no part of it tastes good. No part. No part.
If you can compare it to any other food that you've had, what?
I can't compare it to food. I can compare it to plastic. And the plastic tastes better. It's fucking foul, man. I was like, it's like a taste I couldn't shake out my mouth for a while, man. I was like, eating and drinking a bunch of stuff just to get the taste out.
So it's like chewing the lid on your pop after you drink it.
Oh, God.
Is it that like that, basically?
Even that has more flavor. It's bad, man.
He said it tastes like sadness. I've had some bad stuff, but sadness is...
It's up there with my fisherman cheese.
What is fisherman cheese?
So, on my Is It Real show, I do, like, cheese levels.
Yeah.
You get fisherman cheese rating on me, that's, like, next to blue cheese.
Is that worse than blue cheese?
Nah, blue cheese is the ultimate worst to me.
Okay. I don't know if I've ever heard you say fisherman cheese.
Yeah.
So, what movie's like fisherman?
The Pirates of the Caribbean got fisherman cheese.
The last third one?
The last one that came out.
I didn't even watch that one because I heard it was so bad.
The Transformer movies that came out, got it? What was it? The Night one or whatever. That one was terrible.
Is that the second one?
It was like the third or fourth one, whatever.
Okay.
It was terrible, bro.
That bad. The Mark Wahlberg one?
That got blue cheese.
The Mark Wahlberg, was it the Mark Wahlberg one?
Yeah, it was. I gave that blue cheese, actually. But The Tax Collector, most recent movie, I gave it the fisherman cheese.
That's not a good endorsement.
No, that movie's terrible. I highly recommend you do not see it. It is god awful, man.
I'm going to take that recommendation.
It was so bad, man. The trailer is better than the movie. I'm not lying.
It's over quicker?
The trailer was dope, man. They showed all the good stuff in the trailer.
Okay, let me ask you this then. Because it's not a movie you would have seen in the theater and probably done a Is It Real on.
Yeah.
The Palm Springs.
That's a good movie.
Andy Samberg and...
The girl from How I Met Your Mother.
Christine Milioti, the mother. Where would you cheese rank that?
I give it medium cheddar.
Okay. Pretending it was in the theaters and you took your ass to the theater to see it, would you still give it medium cheddar?
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
I look at it on all the aspects.
Okay.
Whether it got streamed or not. Okay. I always look at it that quality. Like Project Power, that's on Netflix. With Jamie Foxx and Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
And is that worth watching?
Oh my God, that's extra sharp. That movie was...
Wait, and this is on Netflix? So I could go watch it now?
Yeah. How do you not know about this?
Because I don't really have high hopes for Netflix movies.
You're supposed to be watching my Is It Real? I did a review on this.
Okay. I'm behind, man. Because I'm trying to, like, keep track of all people's shows, man. So.
I feel you. All right.
But, yeah, no, I'll go check that one out. I'll go check that one out. Because I like both those actors. So,
Project. Actually, you know what? Take it back. I'm trying to remember.
Is this, like, an action movie?
Yeah, it is.
Yes, sir. Then I'm watching it.
You get superpowers, but it's not a superhero type of movie. Not like that at all. So don't get it twisted. It's nothing like Marvel or DC world.
Okay.
So don't go with that mindset.
What about the Will... Is it anything like when Will Smith was that superhero that kept fucking up or whatever?
Hancock.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's kind of superhero. This movie's not superhero at all.
Okay.
And I don't... It's really good.
Is it kind of like that I Am Number 4?
No, I Am 4. That's just something else.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, you know what I mean? That dude was from another planet, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. No, nothing like that.
Okay.
Nobody's from another planet.
Okay.
But it is, power is, it's a drug that's man-made.
Okay.
And when you eat it or swallow the pill, it gives you 5 minutes of power, of superpowers.
Okay.
And each body, like, see the way it works, everybody has a different genetic DNA code that allows it to have different kind of powers.
Ooh, this sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, so nobody knows what kind of power you'll have until you take that
pill. I'm going to watch this, like, now.
Yeah, watch it. Yeah, go home, eat them Jack's wings. And watch Power, man. Tell Project Power. Okay. It's dope. Dominique Fishback, she's a female actress in this. She was dope. I loved her in this movie. And she did some verses in the movie. It was pretty ill.
Okay.
I don't know if somebody wrote it to her, but she still delivered it, and it came out dope. So, man, props to her.
But this is probably a watch without kids, right?
No, well, older kids. Like, if they're teenagers, definitely. Okay. Well, I watched it with my daughters. So...
But not with like a 5-year-old or whatever.
Probably not a 5-year-old. Okay. I wouldn't go lower than 13.
Okay, so I'll wait till bedtime to watch this.
Well, they might not pay attention to them because they're not seeing all colorful stuff.
I can catch it on the tablet.
Yeah.
Little bits while I'm doing smoke breaks or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, for sure. But very dope movie. Highly recommend you check that out.
There's certain movies where I could kind of just turn them into PG if I skip like two or three scenes while my kids are in the room.
Yeah, there's no really bad scenes in there like that, or, you know, sexual or nothing. It's just the action is like really, really violent, can get graphic. Yeah. So, and of course, you know, the language.
Yeah.
So, other than that, yeah, I mean, but you got to really know the movie to know where to skip.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but other than that, it's a really good movie. A movie like that, you don't want to be skipping that. You want to enjoy that shit.
Okay.
So, yeah, definitely check that out.
Okay, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. Anything else on Netflix you want to know about?
What would you rate the Always Be My Maybe in Cheeses?
Oh, man, that's a sharp.
That's a sharp?
Okay. Yeah, I love that movie. It's a sharp.
So would you put that below or above the Power, the one you just told me about?
Project Power?
Project Power, yeah.
Well, there's two different kind of genres.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Project Power is like extreme sharp level.
Okay.
I mean, like, extra sharp level, excuse me. And, Always Be My Maybe is like, that's definitely a solid sharp.
Okay, how about if I ask you some classics and you rate them for me?
Okay.
You may or may not have done these, but I'm thinking back to a lot of the ones.
Oh, hold on. And people that don't know, when I'm saying sharp and medium, I'm going by Tillamook cheese standards.
Okay.
So like Tillamook medium cheddar, Tillamook sharp and extra sharp.
Do you ever rate a movie Kraft singles?
Well, I put that with the imitation, like the fisherman cheese. So that's what the fisherman cheese is and all that. It's imitation.
Cheese Whiz? Is there a movie that's ever got rated Cheese Whiz?
No.
Would that be good or bad on the scale?
I don't know. Because if you have it on a Philly, it's a must-have.
Okay.
So I can't put Cheese Whiz in there.
Okay.
But anyway.
What about the little red stick cheese that you spread on the crackers and stuff?
You know the categories. It ain't no medium channel, is it?
Okay, so I'm gonna give you some classics that you may or may not have. If you have already rated them, we'll skip them.
Okay.
10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, that's a classic. You gotta give it a sharp.
A sharp? Okay. All right, we're gonna go with Die Another Day. James Bond. Have you done that one?
Oh yeah. I probably put that one at a sharp as well.
You remember that one? Okay. Okay.
James Bond movies are pretty good, man. They don't really mess up their movies too much.
Okay. Forrest Gump.
Oh, come on. That's extra sharp.
Okay. I'm going to go a little more controversial here. House Party 2.
Blue cheese.
That bad blue cheese? So what is worse to you, House Party 2 or the second Friday movie?
House Party 2.
Okay. So pretty bad then.
Yeah. That movie almost destroyed the franchise.
Yeah, it was. I don't remember a lot about it because I've seen it 1.5 times. Like, I have no desire to watch it again.
You know what? All right, I'm not gonna put it blue cheese, but I give it imitation cheese.
But wasn't
because there was some good, a couple of good scenes in there.
Okay, Head of the Class.
The TV show?
No, I mean not Head of the Class. Class Act.
Class Act is dope, man. I give it medium cheddar.
Okay,
medium. I love that movie.
Okay,
I watch it like every time.
I did not mean to say Head of the Class. Robin Gibbons. Dude,
I loved her in Head of State.
Oh yeah, I forgot she was in that.
Security.
Yeah. Ooh, these are good ones. Okay. Oh yeah, since we were talking about it earlier, Romeo and Juliet with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Imitation.
So okay, not quite blue cheese.
Yeah, I mean, cause it's, the reason why is cause it's one of the movies that will not stand the test of time. Like, it was a time period piece. Like, it was good for that time and that era. Like, if you try to watch that now, you're like, what the fuck am I watching?
They were trying to really MTV up Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, that's the problem with it. It was time period. It was like, you see that time period? Oh, my God. It's like medium. It's a sharp problem.
Okay, so here's a movie I watched during my recent quarantine binge-a-thon, and I wanted your opinion on it. Baywatch, the new one.
Baywatch was funny.
Because the that was painful to get through for me, man. It was so bad. Like, it was by far the worst movie I watched in my whole binge-a-thon.
Talking about the one with Zac Efron and The Rock.
Yes.
That's a hard movie to get through. I concur.
God, I was so disappointed. And I didn't have high hopes. And it was worse than the new Overboard by like 7 miles.
Oh, that Overboard was terrible.
Still, I feel like the Baywatch was worse, man. I was really bummed out.
Yeah, considering the fact I still haven't finished that movie, I concur.
I had to, like, push through it so I could write the review on my little story, and I was like, I hate it.
You better than me.
Yeah, I was like, I hate it.
Like, something came on, and I just continued on living the rest of my life.
Pushed through it. Yeah, I should have. It was so awful, man.
Still have no idea how that movie ends. Ugh. The ending might be the best part.
I already forgot it. No, it was the worst part. The ending was the best part because it meant the movie was over. It was terrible. So that's I don't do the cheeses, but it's that was like stale blue cheese from like the back of the freezer case at the Plaid Pantry.
Blue cheese is gross in any kind of aspect.
Yeah.
Blue cheese.
Okay, what's worse, blue cheese in liquid form or hard form?
Of course, that hard, crumbly form is gross.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, dude. Just nasty.
Wait, where the hell are we going, bro?
I'm getting your bottles. My mind was already set on getting the bottles.
Okay.
We're almost there anyway.
Okay.
Figure it add more content for your show anyway.
Okay. So.
What's up?
Okay, another old movie. I like this. Where are we going with this? I'm trying to pick ones that I don't think you've done. So far, I haven't picked any that you've re-reviewed, like old.
Well, I haven't reviewed any of them, so this is cool.
Because I know sometimes you go back and talk about old movies, but
when I do the oldies but goldies section.
Yeah. Okay, Father of the Bride with Steve Martin.
I like that movie. It's kind of cool, man.
Okay.
And plus, I love Steve Martin, man. That dude, he almost can't do no wrong.
Okay, so what would you give that?
I give it a medium cheddar.
Medium cheddar? Okay. Yeah. What about 48 Hours?
Oh, the first one? Oh,
yes.
All right, so here's my thing with that. Because it was created in a different time period. Mm-hmm. So the verbiage, you got to realize this is like the 80s, man, and this is the way people talk. I don't think anybody from now could appreciate that movie. But being who we are and growing up in that time period, and because to me it's a classic, like serious. I have to give it a shot.
Okay.
I mean, anybody else that see it, they might give it like, imitation or something, because they don't understand it.
Okay, fair enough.
That movie is classic to me, man. So many good one-liners in that movie.
Okay. Can roll with that. What about Blind Date with Bruce Willis?
Blind Date, Kim Basinger. That is classic. And John Larroquette.
Yes, John Larroquette. That's. Oh yeah.
Mhm. And the guy, I forget his name, but he does Kit's voice for Knight Rider.
Yes, yeah. He was also Mr. Feeny, man.
Right, in Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
The teacher.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good shit, yeah. Blind Date's definitely classic for rom-com category for sure.
Man. Oh, you should check out, I think it's called Love Absolutely. It's a new rom-com. It's on Netflix. It's free. And it's got Damon Wayans Jr. and this other actress. I forget her name. It escapes me at this time. But it's a really good movie. I liked it.
Love. Is that... So that's like a comedy?
Yeah, man.
Love Absolutely.
What is this about? It's about him going on this dating app. And this dating company made a guarantee that within 1,000 dates, you're guaranteed to find love. And okay. So he went on 1,000 dates and never fell in love. So he's suing the dating company.
Oh, I like
this. He runs into this attorney to sue him. She takes pro bono cases. She's a female.
Oh, bow chicka bow wow.
Yeah. And she's smoking hot, too. She's pretty cute. And there starts the movie right there.
So it's an adult Hallmark movie, basically.
Oh, it's PG-13, that movie. You can watch that with the kids.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very... It's like no bad nothing in it.
Okay.
It's way chill.
Okay, sounds good.
And check out Shanghai's Calling.
Okay.
That's also a good romantic comedy. About an attorney, he's in New York, you know, rising star. But then they send him to China to do for a big investment company or a firm or something like that. And he didn't want to go to China. He liked being in New York. He's pulled out his element. The crazy thing is, just he's Chinese, but he doesn't speak the language or anything. We're not in tune with his, heritage. So he's in China trying to figure it all out.
Okay, dope.
It is dope. And it's one of the last movies with Bill Bixby. Paxton, excuse me.
Bill Paxton.
Yeah. So you get to get it from that aspect. And it was like one of the movies he made before he passed away. And he did a good job in that movie. It was good.
All right, I'll have to check this one out.
Yes, I highly recommend it.
Well, thank you for giving me your reviews and recommendations.
And yep.
He's playing with the garage door.
It's been a jerk.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on the show, and we will be back after this. All right, we're back. And so we stopped at Shado's, and he gave me, as promised.
I blessed my man.
Oh, man, you joy. Really did. I mean, the Southern Comfort is cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm happy just with that. But this moonshine right here, this is
Yeah, wait till you try that.
Platte Valley Moonshine, straight from Missouri. Straight from misery.
Yeah, misery.
This looks legit. Like, I'm going to have to multi-purpose this bottle when I go through it.
Yeah, that bottle's dope. I believe if you bring the bottle into one of their locations
in Missouri,
yeah, they'll refill it.
I'll like haul it on a plane with me.
Mm-hmm. But I believe they have like little spots. I think they got one over here. I think it's in McMinnville.
Oh, okay.
I think. Don't quote me on that.
Oh, whoa! In the Ville of McMinn.
I'm gonna check it out though.
Okay, I'm excited to go home, have the wife try these out.
This is going to be on the podcast too?
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear what
I thought
says.
You had tried the Impossible Whopper. I was going to get your opinion on it, man.
No, I tried the vegetarian Whopper, but I didn't know it was called
Impossible. Oh, so you have had it, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know it was called Impossible.
And because I thought you kind of gave a similar review of how I felt about it, is that it's not bad, but different.
Yeah, it was actually pretty good. I was shocked.
But here's very flavorful. And here's my reasoning as to why I thought it was pretty good is Burger King is not known for like particularly having a great cut of meat or seasoning it well. They flame broil the Whoppers. That's the big thing about
Whoppers. That's their claim to fame, right?
It has all the same toppings and it's flame broiled. So when it all comes down to it, yeah, it's a little bit different of a taste, but it's not necessarily worse. Like I wouldn't be like, oh, I wish I had the other Whopper if I got the veggie one on accident.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's really good.
Now, if somewhere like Five Guys made an Impossible Burger or, you know, Fat Burger, I'm going to expect more out of people like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But just comparing it to a Whopper, being that it's Burger King, no, it lived up to what it needed to, is the way I'd put it.
It really did.
So I'd rate it the same as a Whopper, just slightly different. There's a slightly different kind of taste that cooked meat gives out that it can't quite capture, but it's close.
So why do they call it the Impossible?
I guess because they get it so close to tasting as good as meat.
Oh,
yeah.
Gotcha.
So.
Makes sense then.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. I was like, yeah, it's not bad. I could eat it again for sure.
Yeah, oh, I would eat one again, too.
Yeah.
And you're talking to a guy that's an omnivore.
Yeah, so if my doctor told me I couldn't eat meat, those would become my lifeline, probably, for sure. I want to try some of the other companies are starting to have their own. I'm anxious to see when McDonald's comes out with theirs, how good it is.
Yeah, Burger King set a high bar.
Yeah, the Impossible Quarter Pounder.
Right now, you've been hearing about speaking of burgers, the Travis Scott burger craze?
So I looked into this.
Okay.
And it's a Whopper, but with bacon, two pieces of cheese, and extra lettuce. So that's, or not a Whopper, but a Quarter Pounder.
I thought you were saying like they make it like a Whopper.
No,
a
Quarter Pounder.
Oh, like they flame boiled it?
No, like a Quarter Pounder, basically.
Okay. I dig it.
And with a Sprite and fries. So that's basically I looked into it and it's not that much different than just like basically ordering a Quarter Pounder meal and asking for bacon and extra cheese.
Okay, if McDonald's could make a burger after you, what would it be?
So I would actually do something, okay?
Okay.
I would tell them you have to season it with like some Tony's or something like that. You know, any kind of good seasoning brand they can get. Tony's or Johnny's. Mm-hmm. It's got to be seasoned like that.
Mm-hmm.
The patties would have to be hand-formed, so it'd be a first in McDonald's history. Honey mustard.
Yep.
Jalapenos. Sweet, spicy pickle slices. Tomato. Real light lettuce. And then just a little bit of ketchup to mix with the honey mustard. And then that would be my burger. And maybe some... And then you'd have a choice, bacon or no bacon. Mm-hmm. As well. That would be my burger at McDonald's. And if they'd really let me do whatever I want, I'd probably throw on a hot link and a fried egg on that joint, too.
Oh, man. You're talking to me. Well, they don't sell links, so...
Just call it the book stupid.
They would definitely do the... maybe more bacon on it.
Yeah, but I'd take it as far as McDonald's would let me take it, as far as making it my own. But it would definitely have to have some spicy in there. The sweetness of the honey mustard is a must. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I like that. Yeah. Nice.
What about you?
Man, mine would be different. So, it would be...
Oh, and I'd have Swiss cheese, sorry.
Nice. Mine would be... It would be a halibut.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, so it's got to be a halibut.
Menu item.
Yeah, and it's got to be a... there's this, it's like a all seafood seasoning tartar sauce. It's like a top shelf tartar sauce. It's got to be that specific tartar sauce. That's the most legit tartar sauce ever made.
I want to find this tartar sauce now for my fish and chips.
Yeah, oh my God. It will make it
so is it something so you bomb. Can get in like Whole
yeah,
Foods
you,
or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, you can get it at Walmart, anywhere.
Oh, okay. Like yeah. Maybe.
Any grocery store.
So like what a Safeway would have it?
Yeah, Fred Meyer's, all of them have them.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And so, like, yeah, you'll find it in there.
So you'd have that, the halibut okay. with that.
Yeah, and it had the Tillamook. I want it to be the sharp cheese.
Okay.
And it's got to be, I want thick apple-cut smoked bacon on top.
Okay, what kind of bun on this?
Oh, the buns I'm not really particular on, so, because I'm not a bread guy anyway.
Okay.
So, but it does taste good with the bruschetta or the classic sesame seed. You're not going wrong with either or.
So, does any other condiments besides the tartar?
No, you just need the tartar.
Okay.
You don't need nothing else. Trust me, once you have that sauce, you don't want nothing else.
Okay.
Anything else is going to ruin it.
Fair enough.
But you're talking about delicious.
All right.
I'm telling you, fire.
All right, well, thanks for coming on the show again. I'm about to head in and give everyone a review on these bottles.
Yeah, tell me. I can't wait to hear what you think. If you go live, let me know so I can...
Oh, if I go live, okay.
Oh, okay, yeah, cool.
Okay, for
cool,
sure.
Cool, cool, cool.
We'll be back. Danny Ocean's Random Podcast. All right, welcome back to Danny Ocean's Random Podcast. And that was a fun segment. I want to thank Shado for coming on again and blessing the show. And I know we were going to have a review of my wife with the Impossible Whopper and trying the new, you know, alcohol I was given from my home bar collection, but we're not going to finish off the episode with that. You know, her feeling about the Impossible Whopper was similar to mine, as I mentioned with Shado in the last segment, you know, that it wasn't terrible. It was comparable to the Whopper, just slightly different in taste. You know, there's something, you know, Burger King's not known, as I've said, Burger King is not known for great cuts of meat or like seasoning their burger. Like most any fast food chain does not season their meat enough. So coming up with a, you know, a veggie based non-meat burger that can rival their meat burger isn't that tough, because they're not a chain on the level of like Fat Burger or Five Guys or, you know, even In-N-Out, where people like the actual flavor of the burgers and feel like there's taste in the meat. What a Burger, from what I've heard about, you know, Shake Shack. Burger King's none of these places, so it's not going to be difficult to rival what their meat is bringing, if you get what I'm saying. You know, it'd be really interesting to see a place like Fat Burger or Five Guys, you know, or locally, if you're in the Portland area, Killer Burger, or like Dick's in Seattle, come out with a meatless burger. Because those are places, chains, even if they're regional chains, that are known for having tasty burgers. Specifically, you know, better cuts of meat than a lot of the other chains. So it'd be interesting to see a place like that come out with a chain like that, at least come out with a meatless burger. That would be more worth a review, I think. I would order the Impossible Whopper again. If I went into Burger King, it's kind of like a toss-up. You know, maybe I need to eat less meat. I'd go in there and have the Impossible Whopper. So that's the long and short of it. I wouldn't feel either way much of a thing. Just knowing that it's probably slightly healthier for me, I might actually go for the Impossible one. But yeah, so that's going to be the long and short of the review on the Impossible Whopper. I don't think it needs much more time. I definitely recommend it if you want something that rivals a typical fast food burger and you don't want to eat meat. It's worth it. It's the best, I think, I will say to this point, I've seen imitation of meat. So I'll give it that. I ate a Garden Burger a long time ago and that was, oof. So this is, they've come a long, long way for sure. Now, I have not tried the Carl's Jr. version. I hear there's one. I'm not going to try the Carl's Jr. version because yuck. So anyway, thanks for tuning in the episode. I know I mentioned earlier the bottles the Shado had given me to expand the collection. You know, he gave me a really cool bottle of some moonshine, which is a really neat looking bottle. And then some 100 proof Southern Comfort, which if anyone knows who's, you know, if you've tasted Southern Comfort before, you know, it kind of has a sweetness to it. So it'd be good in like mixed drinks. I wouldn't sip it straight, but I'm going to be, now that I'm, you know, building my own home bar collection, I'm going to start trying to, you know, concoct my own drinks and name them and stuff. And I plan to do a couple this year, you know, cold weather hot drinks. So on the next episode, I'm going to come up with a drink to, out of some of the ingredients I have, whether they were given to me, whether I bought them, or whether I already had them, and create my own new drink using my first with my new bar supplies, basically. So we will do that on the next episode. I was going to originally put that in this episode, tack it on at the end, that kind of thing. But there's already enough content in this episode. And I know this episode wasn't as long as I wanted it to be, but theme-wise, you know, there's the disaster was basically the central theme of this episode for the most part to me, even though maybe I goofed with Shado a lot more. So I didn't want to just tack a bunch of different stuff on the end of this episode. You know, I really struggled to get this episode out. I started the first time I tried to record it was the first night of the wind storm here that knocked down part of our fence before the fires spread and got out of control, before the smoke filled the sky. And now, you know, waters come. There was lightning. There was, okay, so an update for those not living in the Portland area, Oregon. So there was Friday morning, a lightning and thunderstorm brought much needed rain and precipitation to the Portland area. Now our air quality index has gone all the way back to good already. It was just a week ago the worst in the world and above 500. It's now, you know, below 50 and among the least polluted air cities in the world. So it's crazy how dramatic it can change. You know, I think people who live in the U.S. should look at that as, you know, we're still privileged. I mean, you know, it was horrible around here, but look how quickly the air returned to good. There's people in some places of the world in that top 25 that their city has been in that top 25 for years and decades and is going to stay there because of constant pollution. It's not a smoke or wildfires that's putting most of those cities up in there. They're constantly in there. Okay, so think of people like that. Just when you're even like consuming products, where was it made? You know what? And I'm not asking you to be a full-blown activist, but just be more conscious and aware of where you get stuff, how you get stuff, how it was made, by whom, that kind of thing. You can, you know, as much as you can afford to, you know, be conscious of that because a little bit goes a long way. And the air thing really made me think of that, like, oh, wow, Portland's in the top, in the worst air in the world. It's never been that way before. You get it? And I'm not downplaying what's happened here because it's been horrible. People have lost lives. Houses, property, pets, people that have survived are still severely injured, lung damage, all this stuff. It's not been, I'm not, all that is awful, but I'm just saying the actual air quality thing puts into perspective how blessed we are here because we are out of that now air-wise, whereas some people in the other parts of the world are always going to be breathing in bad air like that. So that's something to think about. You know, and this, it's, and another scary thing to think about is that may be more common here if these fire seasons continue to be worse and worse like this. I don't want to touch too much on the politics of it all, but I'm going to say one more thing. There was rumors starting that like Antifa was starting these fires. Let me give people a little history on Oregon. Wildfire season is an annual thing here. This is always around the time of the year that it peaks the most, late August to early to mid-September. Or basically August, September are the peak of the wildfire season, I guess you could say. Now, this has been the worst one that I can remember in my lifetime, but there was a pretty bad one. I want to say, you know, 16, 17 years ago. I remember I had a friend working on the fire lines, and that was a really bad season. I remember the air got slightly bad, you know, here for a day or so when the fires were getting closer. But this has been, but the point is that circumstances, electrical fires, you know, all kind of crazy stuff can spark fires. Some of them nature caused, and some of them arson. Yes, always that's been the case though. Now, there have been cases of arson this time, but they have not been able to connect one of those people to any like extremist group, whether they be, or what people consider extremist groups, whether they be Antifa or, you know, the far right extremist groups I heard were blamed for some of these too. I don't think either of these cases are true at all. Like the guy that so far has been charged in the most arson related stuff lives somewhere in between Eugene and Medford, way out in the sticks. So I don't necessarily think that's an Antifa stronghold down there. The guy wasn't from Portland. Literally the only guy that's even been from Portland or even like an inner suburb of Portland that started any fires was a homeless man who started tons of tiny fires that they had caught and all put out. And they don't even know, you know, if that guy's even been to a protest, or any kind of stuff. It seemed like the first fire was a dispute between him and another person camped near where he was, according to reports. So you got to really, I know that people want to search for news that feeds into the beliefs and the ideas that they have, but it's so much better to just find out the truth. You know, I've seen stories before where I've been like, oh man, you know, that proves me right. But then when you look further, you realize it wasn't really the case. And why build your case on weak evidence? You know what I mean? If you believe something, then there should be plenty enough to back it up out there that you don't need to grasp for straws and take weird rumors that you even know in your heart probably aren't true to back up your thing. Okay. Antifa was not out here starting forest fires. And as a matter of fact, a lot of those people who were down in these protests or were Antifa or accused of being Antifa were actually out giving supplies and stuff to people, trying to help with forest fire relief and people who were, you know, staged as, you know, evacuated to certain high schools around the area and the convention center and stuff like this. So that's the kind of stuff you need to understand. Now, I'm not making excuses for anyone's behavior or anything, but I'm just saying blaming the wrong people, whether they be Antifa or the left or the far right. You know, the one case of looters or the couple cases of looters that they all found were all local to the areas that they looted. There's still been no Portlanders arrested or even like people from like Gresham or Beaverton or Hillsborough or, you know, Vancouver, Tigard, any of the inner suburbs. None of the like people who even are in the vicinity of Portland still have not been arrested or caught looting anything. You know, people were setting up like paranoid checkpoints and all this stuff. And you're right to be paranoid about looters if that's really happening. And apparently there's a handful of cases, but you know, like I said, criminals sometimes can just be criminals, and it's politics isn't everything. People want to turn everything into politics. It's a good chance a lot of those looters and arsonists don't give a fuck about your political views, probably aren't right or left. You know, who knows? If I'm proven wrong, like, fuck it, I don't care. My reputation is not at stake here. So if they did all of a sudden say, you know, Antifa started all these fires, then they would have proof and it'd be a real thing. And I wouldn't dispute it because I'm not here to dispute the truth. But right now, the truth viewed as the way it is the truth. And the truth is, and firefighters and even the Medford police had to come out and say there was no truth to these rumors. Okay. The Medford police, for anyone who's been in Oregon or spent any time in the Northwest, is about as far as you can get from far left globalist conspirators as you could probably find in perhaps the country. If anyone knows anything about Medford or Oregon police or police in Medford specifically, knows this. So, yeah, That's just something to kind of put out there. That's just to give my listeners from other parts of the world a perspective on how BS some of that shit is. You know what I mean? You can be listening right now and have different views than me politically, and I still respect that you're listening, and thank you for your listening, but have your views backed up by real shit. That's all. I know plenty of right-wingers who at least have, you know, concrete, you know, views by non-wackos or, you know, evidence that they can pull out for supporting their views, even if I feel their views are wrong. That's missing on all sides of this political spectrum. There's people on the left doing this crap too. I don't get the idea. I don't get the need to, like, when you have a good pile of good evidence, to pile shitty evidence on the side to make the pile look bigger. You don't, it's much better to have a medium-sized pile of solid evidence than a big pile of just, like, 90% of that shit could be circumstance or just, you know, you get what I'm trying to explain here. Like, I've never understood people trying to handle arguments that way. You don't need a mountain of half-ass evidence. You need a tiny hill of solid evidence. I'm going to take it out with that final thought. We're going to come shortly at the next episode. There won't be a big space at all between this and episode 20. So, you know, tell your friends, anyone you like, or even anyone you hate about this podcast. It can be found almost anywhere podcasts are. And I want to thank you again for tuning in. You're listening to Danny Ocean's Random Podcast. Until next time.